Members, I'm going to call the February 22nd, 2022 meeting of the Taxes Committee to order under Rules 10.01 and remind folks who are watching, following along, that all the materials for this meeting are available on the House of Representatives website. And then go to Committees and Divisions. You can go to Taxes Committee. And on that homepage, if you look to the lower right, is all of that information. So with that, Ms. Griska, would you please call the roll?
Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt present.
Representative Marquardt present. Representative Listlegard.
Representative Listlegard present.
Representative Listlegard present. Representative Davids.
Davids present.
Representative Davids present. Representative Agbaje.
Present.
Representative Agbaje present. Representative Carlson.
Carlson's present.
Representative Carlson's present. Representative Detmer.
Detmer present.
Representative Detmer present. Representative Garofalo. Representative Gomez.
Gomez present.
Representative Gomez present. Representative Herr.
Present.
Representative Herr present. Representative Hertas.
Hertas present.
Representative Hertas present. Representative Howard.
Howard present.
Representative Howard present. Representative McDonald. Representative Miller.
Miller present.
Representative Miller present. Representative Moran.
Present.
Representative Moran present. Representative Mortensen.
Present.
Representative Mortensen present. Representative Robbins.
Present.
Representative Robbins present. Representative Sandell.
Present.
Representative Sandell present. Representative Schultz. Representative Stevenson. Representative Swazinski.
Here.
Representative Swazinski present. Representative Joachim. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Griska. Next, we have some minutes to approve, the February 17th, 2022 minutes. Representative Listlegard, would you like to move those minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Listlegard moves approval of the February 17th, 2022 minutes of the Taxes Committee. Any comments or suggestions? If not, I'm going to ask members to temporarily unmute themselves as we take a vote on these minutes. Approval of the February 17th minute. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The February 17th, 2022 minutes are approved. So members, we've got three bills on the agenda today, and the first two bills we're going to take together. So we have Representative Bonner and Representative Erdahl here, and so I would like them both to come up to the virtual table, if you would, at the same time. And this is an issue that's very important and very bipartisan, and I think that shows today. And so what I'd like to do is we're going to move Representative Bonner's bill. Then I'm going to ask Representative Bonner to make opening statements and then Representative Erdahl to make statements. Then what I'd like to do is here, we've got six testifiers. I would like to hear them all then at the same time, or, you know, one by one. And then we will move Representative Bonner's bill and then move Representative Erdahl's bill after we take questions and so forth. Just as a note, in your materials, the staff has put together 2022 federal conformity provisions dealing with business loan relief. So some that still need to be done and some that were done last year. So last year, this Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program federal conformity was in the House Omnibus Tax Bill and in the governor's supplemental bill. And this year, it's also in Governor Walz's tax bill that we'll hear tomorrow. So we weren't able to get it to the finish line, but it certainly was a priority for the House and Governor Walz last year. So with that, Representative, who would like to move Representative Bonner's House File 2890?
So move.
Representative Moran moves House File 2890 to be laid over for possible inclusion into the House tax omnibus bill. With that, Representative Bonner, if you would have some opening comments on your bill.
All right. I hope to bring as much vigor to taxes as you do, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, we are here today to talk about tax conformity. Provide relief to small businesses, restore the cornerstones of our community, all while righting a wrong. Both my bill and the one sponsored by Representative Erdahl do just that. But first, how did we get here? Minnesota is a haven for entertainment and the arts, from iconic music venues like First Avenue to staples like the Guthrie Theater, the Ordway, and even the Minnesota Zoo live stages. Minnesotans love local entertainment. In my community, places like the Yellow Tree Theater in Osseo perform outstanding plays, while local movie theaters like the Odyssey Theater Group, owned by two of my Maple Grove residents, Steve and Brian, serve as pop culture anchors for the latest Spider-Man blockbuster. When COVID hit, these venues were forced to close their doors, hit by multiple waves, from the shutdown to consumer hesitancy to return. Hollywood productions came to a grinding halt. Music tours and stage productions were canceled. One thing was clear: we needed to save our stages. That is precisely what our very own Senator Klobuchar had in mind when she created a bill of the same name. As part of the COVID relief package, the Shuttered Venues Operator Grant Program provided funding from the American Rescue Plan, which allowed the SBA to administer these much-needed grants. In Minnesota, from Albert Lea to Zumbrota, 204 venues received the SVOG grant, providing lifeblood they needed when they needed it most. Last year, when we completed our work, we missed one key piece. We failed to achieve tax conformity on the SVOG grant program. This bill fixes that oversight, conforms to the intent of federal law, and is included in the governor's budget. And with that, Mr. Chair and members, working in a true spirit of bipartisanship, I will turn it over to Representative Erdahl. I will take note that there are a few handouts in your packets, including information on program and eligibility, as well as an article on the grants. And then to Mr. Erdahl, or Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Representative Bonner, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you very much, Chair Mark Warrant and committee members. And I think Representative Bonner did a good job of giving the history of what's been happening to our theater and music venues and museums. And I'm just going to sum up a little bit here. As Representative Bonner noted, a lot of businesses were helped during the pandemic. We made adjustments to ensure that the help given, that the aid wasn't taxed. The Shuttered Venue Operators Grant, somehow it's fallen through the cracks. Adjustments were made when we did the PPP, for example. We are now the only state in the union taxing relief to shuttered venues. It will take $4.8 million in 2023 with $800,000 in 2024 and $400,000 in 2025 to take care of this. As Representative Bonner noted, it is in the governor's budget. It makes no sense to give assistance to businesses that are state-ordered closed and then tax the lifeline. We need to make sure that these provisions in my bill and Representative Bonner's pass. And, so with that, we do have some testifiers that can provide added insight into this.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. And as Representative Erdahl referred to, the revenue estimate on both 2890 and 2793 is $4.8 million in this biennium and $1.2 million into the next biennium. So we're going to go to testifiers, and we have six. And if I could ask testifiers to pull it to about 2 to 3 minutes if you could. And the first testifier up is Todd Carlson, who is has a music venue in Dilworth, my hometown. And thank you, Mr. Carlson, for being here today, but also for the tour you gave me. I learned a lot, not only about your facility, but how that operates. So it was very, very valuable to me. So Todd Carlson, welcome to the committee from snowy Dilworth. And if you and Wendy, and if you want to introduce yourself, and please begin with your testimony.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chairman Marquardt and members. My name is Todd Carlson. I'm the owner and operator of TACT Music Venue, located in Dilworth, Minnesota. TACT Music Venue is a member of the Minnesota Independent Venue Alliance. I want to thank you, Representative Erdahl and Bonner, for your bipartisan leadership in bringing this issue forward. Yeah, the pandemic, and we're coming up next month. March 16th will be the two-year anniversary of when we learned that we were going to be closing for a short amount of time to help slow the spread. That turned into several months, and we all know the story. It's just here we're still in it, it feels like. You know, we keep hearing the end of the pandemic or whatever, but in this industry, we're still fighting to kind of keep going here. The SVOG grant was critical in keeping my doors specifically open, and I think every other venue in the state would echo that. Really was a lifeline. However, going forward, attendance is still down at our events. People are reluctant to even book things, just with still these questions. Omicron came and kind of put us back into a holding pattern again. So we're watching expenses more diligently probably than we ever have. To have to pay taxes on that grant, we're figuring around 10% is just going to be a step backwards when we're trying to rebuild our businesses again after that long pause that I still feel like we're in. So I really do ask for your support in this Minnesota conformity tax bill. It would be very, very helpful for us to continue forward. So thank you for your time.
Again, thank you for your testimony.
Yep.
Just for note, Representative Schultz and Representative Stevenson are in attendance. Members, I also have a bill up in public safety that I may have to run off to temporarily. If that occurs, I'll relinquish the chair to Representative Lisligard. I see Representative Garofalo and Representative McDonald are now also in attendance. So we'll move to the next testifier. It's Jack Cold Williams, and then Stephen Mann is on deck. So, Mr. Williams, please introduce yourself and begin with your testimony.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chair Marquardt and members. My name is Jack Cold Williams, and I serve as the Vice Chair of the Minnesota Independent Venue Alliance, or MINVA as we're known. We are the Minnesota affiliate of the National Independent Venue Association. Mr. Chair, thank you for championing independent music venues, promoters, festivals, and small business owners throughout Minnesota since the beginning of the pandemic by chief authoring the Minnesota Save Our Stages Act. Representative Erdahl and Bonner, thank you so much for both recognizing the importance of Minnesota's most cherished music and entertainment venues to help the well-being of our state. The Minnesota Independent Venue Alliance is a 501c6 nonprofit with a mission to preserve and nurture the ecosystem of independent venues and promoters throughout the state. We represent both for-profit and nonprofit organizations. Today, I'm here to speak on behalf of HF2890 and 2793, which would bring Minnesota into federal tax conformity regarding treatment of the Shuttered Venue Operators grants awarded by Congress. I also want to thank the House for including Minnesota's tax conformity to the Shuttered Venue Operators grants in your 2021 tax bill. 253 Minnesota small businesses and nonprofit organizations received grants which helped save our internationally recognized independent music industry. These grants were the only targeted relief we received throughout the pandemic, and many of Minnesota's local and independent venues would have closed without it. If the legislature and the governor do not pass in tax conformity, the estimated impact is 10% of our grant award, which we did not account for in the grant budgets that were already submitted and approved by the SBA. Tax conformity is impacting both our for-profit and nonprofit members, which I can personally attest to as it came to quite a shock to me when my nonprofit organization received a 1099 from the state to collect upon our shuttered venue operators grant. Minnesota's live independent music venues were the first to close, the last to open, and as Todd mentioned, reopening has proven much more difficult and turbulent than we ever expected. With concerts and events continuing to postpone and reschedule, events are facing distressed attendance and increased expenses, and now is not the time for the state of Minnesota to tax SVOG grants. I ask for your support in Minnesota's conformity to the federal tax code regarding shutter venue operators grants and your support for HF 2890 and 2793. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we have Stephen Mann, and on deck, Brian Sieve.
Hi there. My name is Steve Mann. I'm the owner of Mann Theaters. First of all, thank you for your time today to hear our position. We've been in business since 1935 and currently own over 100 screens in the state of Minnesota. Our industry has been one of the hardest hit industries, as far as I'm concerned, in the U.S. You know, restaurants had curbside and takeout and everything else. Theaters had nothing. We were shut down for over 6 months by the state between 20 and 2021. We've suffered enormous losses in 2020 and 2021. And so far, 2022 is off to a rocky start, which is really due to COVID and streaming disputes that we're having with our film distributors. A lot of film is streaming now, going direct to streaming and bypassing theaters, because film companies felt with all the theaters closed, it was a better economic decision for them to do. I'm asking for the state of Minnesota to reverse its decision on this, especially based on the fact that we're the only state in the country that has this position right now. California was reversed last week. Without the help that we received in grants from the state of Minnesota and the federal grant, the SLOG, we would no longer be in business. And like I said, I've been in business since 1935. In theaters, you know, there's been so many theaters that have closed, not only in the state of Minnesota, across the nation. So we've got a long road ahead of us for recovery, and that's why we're asking for your help and cooperation on this bill. So I thank you for your time and consideration on this matter, and if anyone has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. And thank you again for the time here.
Thank you very much. I'll ask testifiers after you're done testifying to stick around in case members have a question for any of you. So next is Brian Sieve, and then Steve Tripp is on deck. So please proceed. Let's see, we have Brian.
Hold on. I just forgot to unmute my mic. Sorry about that. I'm new to this.
Brian, Steve, go ahead, introduce yourself and welcome.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. My name is Brian Sieve. I'm the VP of Finance with Odyssey Theaters. I'm basically the chief bean counter. Steve Tripp, our president, has asked me to join today to provide any color on any potential mathematics that might that the committee might want to hear. So at this point, I'm going to defer to my esteemed colleague, Steve Tripp, to articulate Odyssey through this whole event. So, Steve?
Very good. Steve Tripp, if you would identify yourself, and Dave Quincer is on deck.
Well, thank you, Chair Marquardt. And I want to particularly thank Representative Bonner and Representative Erdahl for their attention to this matter. I contacted them several weeks ago, and they were so gracious to reach right back to me, and I really appreciate that. You know, I don't think that...
For the record, would you state your name, please?
Steve Tripp.
Very good. Thank you.
President of Odyssey Theaters. We have theaters in five states. We operate three in the state of Minnesota, in Detroit Lakes, Hutchinson, Rochester, and we actually lost one during the pandemic in Austin, Minnesota, that no longer has a theater there. Nobody can write a business plan that would survive virtually a year plus of 90% loss in revenue, and 2 years later, still only being recovered to 60% of your pre-pandemic revenues. That's simply, I think probably any economics professor anywhere in the country would tell you that it won't happen. And certainly it wouldn't happen a lot. Like Mr. Mann, Odyssey Theaters would not be in business today without the SVOG and the Minnesota Deeds grant that so graciously you folks provided to us. It's been a struggle. There's been a lot of dark hours. But the light is at the end of the tunnel because of these. We can see the way out of this now. We can see that the survival is going to happen. Movies like Spider-Man showed that people want to come back to the theaters. They embrace their theaters. And in many communities across the state of Minnesota, a movie theater is the primary source of out-of-home entertainment that these communities have. It's a vital part of our Minnesota roots and a threat of our communities. So it's virtually, it's so important that money that was put out to us as disaster relief money just really should not be taxed. And I use the analogy, if your home is wiped out in Florida by a hurricane and you receive disaster relief money to build a home, they don't come riding in and hand you a 1099 or a W-2 and say, oh, by the way, that's income. This is what we do to help out people that are in trouble. And certainly the entertainment industry was hardest hit of all industries throughout the pandemic. I appreciate your efforts on this. I appreciate everyone's support. And I thank you for allowing us the time to plead our cases today.
Thank you very much for that testimony. Appreciate that. Dave Quincer is the final testifier on the list. Please identify yourself and welcome to the committee.
Yeah, my name's Dave Quincer. My family's owned the Cozy Theater in Wadena for almost 100 years now, and we also own the Comet Theater in Perm, Minnesota, as well as the Starlight Drive-In Theater in Litchfield. So both Steve Tripp and Steve Mann have covered, you know, a lot of the information that I have, too, with revenue losses. It's obviously been a tough couple of years between, you know, we tried to sell concessions to offset some of our revenue losses, but we still ended up in the 70 to 90% range. Our national theater owners organization is telling us that we won't be back to 2019 levels until 2024. And 2019 was a very good year for us. So certainly conforming the state tax rules and helping us out by not having to pay tax on our SVOG funds is going to go a long way to help us keep our operations viable and be able to continue. I'm also president of the North Central Unit of the National Association of Theater Owners, and we represent theaters in Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Iowa, and Nebraska. The other four states all have their state tax rules conforming with the federal rules, so Minnesota is the only state we have this issue in, and so we'd like to get that taken care of and move forward. A lot of theaters that received SVOG money, especially I have a colleague up in International Falls who's right on the Canadian border. At least 50% of his revenue comes from across the border, and with the border being closed, he's had a terrible struggle up there, and I really feel bad for him. I know that the SVOG money is the only reason he's still here. So, again, I thank you for your consideration on this. Thank you to Representatives Bonner and Erdahl for supporting us, and we appreciate your support. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to testify? If not, I always appreciate it when testifiers can really paint a picture of the real situation on the ground and make a real case for the need for what we're trying to do here in the Tax Committee. And you all did that very well, so thank you for that. Members' questions, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very happy these bills are here today. I'm in full support of the Erdahl and Bonner bills. I think we need to do this. Being the only state to do something sometimes is good. In this case, I don't think it is good. So I think we need to, you know, conform with this with the feds and move forward. I mean, they've been through quite a struggle, and this is something that can help them out. They shouldn't have to declare this as income. They shouldn't be getting a 1099. On this. So I think we're pretty much in agreement. And just logistically, Mr. Chairman, we're on the Bonner bill. So we'll move that for possible inclusion. Then I'd like to move the Erdahl bill when it's time.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Thank you. Any other members' comments or questions for either Representative Bonner or Representative Erdahl or the testifiers? I don't see any. So I'll first go to Representative Bonner. Last words on House File 2890.
Thank you. I think my testifiers frankly said it all. You know, this has been a really, really challenging time for some of our small businesses that literally are the cornerstones of our communities. And so I'm hopeful today that we can get this bill laid over for inclusion and get this done to make sure that we are keeping them whole and keeping these anchors of our community in place.
Representative Bonner, thank you so much. So we're going to move this and then we're going to come back to Representative Erdahl's bill. So Representative Moran renews her motion to lay over House File 2890 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax bill. Chair Davids, would you like to make the motion on 2793?
Mr. Chairman, I will move House File 2793 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Very good. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and the committee members. The testifiers did a fine job of outlining what the issue is. It's an important piece of legislation that needs to be included in the tax bill, and I appreciate your consideration. I would like to thank Mr. Quincer for having the Starlight Drive-In Theater in Litchfield open. I loaded up my grandchildren a few times and paid them a visit to help out a little bit. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Thank you, both Representative Bonner, Representative Erdahl, and the testifiers. And Chair Davids renews his motion to lay over House File 2793 for possible inclusion into the House omnibus tax bill. So thank you very much. And members, I need to go to public safety. So for the next bill, House File 3316, I'm going to turn this over to Vice Chair Lester.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next on the agenda, we have House File 3316. Representative Robbins, would you like to move your bill to be laid over for possible inclusion on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do move House File 3316 for possible inclusion.
I see that we have an A1 amendment. Would you like to briefly describe your amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The A1 just simply allows S corporations to have the same opportunity to make this selection for the R&D tax credit. It was suggested by nonpartisan research in the Senate and has also been recommended to me by nonpartisan here in the House.
Wonderful. Are there any questions for the A1 amendment? If not, could I have everybody unmute? All in favor, say aye.
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 Oppose?
Aye.
I take that as an aye. Representative Robbins, please present your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's great to have the opportunity to present the R&D tax credit bill once again. As you know, Minnesota has a long tradition of innovation that has been a key ingredient to our economic success as a state, and that will continue to be needed as we go into the future. Members of this committee are very familiar with the R&D tax credit as an important tool for keeping and encouraging good-paying research and development jobs throughout Minnesota. We were the first state in the nation to enact an R&D tax credit back in 1981, and since then, many other states have followed suit, but our credit has not kept up in terms of robustness and in terms of simplicity of use, and so that's what this bill will address today. I've heard from businesses, and I'm sure many of you have as well, from especially small and mid-sized companies on how difficult it is to calculate the R&D tax credit here in Minnesota. And generally, it's not worth it for their time, for the complexity and the compliance costs and burdens. So this similar to proposals the committee has heard for many years, including one I had last year, as it provides for a simplified calculation for determining R&D tax credit, which is similar to the federal alternative calculation. This bill will address problems with the current calculation of the base rate, which requires going back to books and records from over 35 years ago. Instead, this calculation in the bill being presented will give the current year Minnesota R&D expenditures minus 50% of the business's average R&D expenses during the past 3 years to determine the amount of creditable dollars. The difference from the previous bills is that this will have the same rate of current credit calculation, which is 10% for the first $2 million and 4% on qualified expenses above $2 million. In addition, rather than a five-year lock-in, you could make the election every year. This bill, I hope you will consider favorably. Fiscal note was posted just a little bit ago, and it will encourage R&D in our state so that especially we continue to grow research jobs, and that will drive innovation throughout the economy. So thank you, members, for your consideration. I have several times.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. We will now move to public testimony. I ask the public testifiers to limit their testimony to 2 minutes a person. First up, we have Jessica Young, and after her, we have Carlos Georges. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Young. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jessica Young, and I am with the Medical Alley Association. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to testify this afternoon in support of House File 3316. I want to thank Chair Marquardt for hearing this bill, and I also want to thank you, Representative Robbins, for carrying this important piece of legislation. Medical Alley Association is the cross-sector healthcare association in Minnesota that supports and advances Medical Alley's global leadership in health innovation and care. We are proud to represent the entire continuum of care. Our members touch virtually every sector of the healthcare industry: medical device, biotech, payer and provider, digital health, and everything in between. One of Medical Alley's core policy pillars is to prioritize our innovative ecosystem. To sustain its leadership position, Minnesota must continue to foster a business-friendly environment for innovators. This requires a continued commitment to supporting entrepreneurs and incubators and ensuring that the state has the resources necessary to capture and retain the growth of organizations that drive our innovation economy. Minnesota's Research and Development Tax Credit is one of those critical resources. House File 3316 provides important updates to Minnesota's existing R&D tax credit statute. This bill will make Minnesota's R&D tax credit more accessible to companies of all sizes, but especially small and mid-sized companies. This language will save companies time and resources by allowing them to use this simplified alternative calculation. Minnesota has been a leader on research and development, and by making this credit more accessible, it will hopefully encourage more companies to invest in R&D into the future. Medical Alley is home to a vibrant and innovative healthcare ecosystem, and House File 3316 ensures there are tools available to attract and retain investment right here in Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Young. Next up, we have Carla Georges, followed by Beth Cadoon. Please welcome to the committee, Ms. Georges, and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Thank you to Chairman Marquardt and the task committee for inviting me today. My name is Carlo Georges, and I am part owner of a company called Pequot Tool and Manufacturing. It's a family-owned company, and we've been in business for just celebrated our 40th year in business last year. We at Pequot Tool and Manufacturing are very much advocates of the R&D tax credit that is being proposed. We find great value in this credit. We consider the research and development a lifeline to our future. And we have to do research and development to grow and stay in business. If we don't do R&D, we will fall behind, lose customers, lose employees, and lose growth. Not only is R&D good for our business as a whole, it also benefits our employees. They gain extra skills of problem solving, leadership skills, and it increases their skill sets, which in turn increases their value to our customers and to our company. Research and development helps us be more competitive, which helps us bring in new customers with new jobs for the future. Some projects can take 1 to 2 years of development before we can bring them into production, while other jobs might only take a month or 2 months. And then we also have development that we have to take on ourselves in order to make us more productive internally. Development for us can take many forms. It could be experimenting with new cutting tools, new machines, new material, new processes, or working with new technologies in robotics and automation. Sometimes working with new customers and for their potential jobs, we have to employ all these forms to win a job. Even if we don't get a job, our development teams learn more than they knew before and helps us to improve our development processes and practices. Prior to COVID, we were working with a potential customer for a year or so to develop some ways to make parts for their new product more efficiently that they wanted to bring to market in the near future. We received a call from them in February 2020 asking if we would be able to make parts for them. And we said yes, as we were deemed a critical supplier of parts for various industries when COVID started. They told us that they are going forward with their new product and that the US government needs to know if they have the capacity to get thousands of this product to them, and they wanted to get them in production in the next 2 to 3 months. We would be considered a critical supplier, key supplier for some of those parts going into their product, which meant we needed immediately to get material, tooling, machines to get these parts into production. The product the U.S. government was buying from them was a new style ventilator, a respiratory ventilator for the upcoming COVID pandemic. We received orders in early March of that year, started production in April, and we were shipping parts out to their assemblers in May. None of this would have been possible if we had not already done some R&D on these parts the previous summer. So we are true believers in that R&D is critical to our future in business, is helping us prepare the way to into the future for our customers, employees, and our company. And thank you for your support of this R&D credit. It is very much needed in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorgeous. Next up, we have Beth Cadoon, followed by her, Kristen Altman. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Cadoon. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Beth Cadoon. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We're testifying in strong support of Representative Robbins' bill and thank her for bringing it forward again this year. The R&D tax credit, as you've heard, has been an important provision to encourage R&D in our state and to keep those high-paying jobs here. We know innovation has been an important component of Minnesota's past success, and it will be key to our future success. Businesses that innovate, create new products and services tend to be more profitable and stronger than companies that do not, as was the previous testifier talked about. This bill addresses a fix that is long overdue. In order to make sure this tax incentive remains effective, especially for those small and mid-sized companies, we need to make this change in order to make this more effective and to reduce those cost and compliance burdens. This will more closely match the federal credit, and it does not require businesses to now, produce those records from over 35 years ago. We have a testifier, Krista Altman, who has extensive experience in the R&D tax credit in Minnesota, and so I'll keep my testimony short and turn it over to her.
Thank you, Ms. Cadoon. We have Krista Altman. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Krista Altman, and I am a tax director at Clifton Larson Ellen. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. This bill will serve an important purpose in encouraging Minnesota taxpayers to increase their research endeavors in the state. As you know, research and development activities are a crucial driver of innovation and economic growth, creating jobs and keeping us on the forefront of technological advancement. In 1981, Minnesota was the first state to enact an R&D tax credit, the same year the federal credit was enacted. Unfortunately, however, we continue to use the same method to calculate the Minnesota credit that was originally enacted over 40 years ago, which is outdated and difficult to administer. The current credit method relies on a concept called fixed base percentage to calculate. This can be exceedingly problematic for taxpayers to establish, as it may require them to go back in time for many years to support historical costs and revenue. The cost to calculate the fixed base percentage is an additional barrier for small businesses. Due to the complex fixed base percentage calculation and the high state gross receipts for some of our taxpayers, many taxpayers are base limited, meaning their current year qualified expenses do not exceed their base amounts, and therefore little to no state credit is generated. I work with many small to mid-sized Minnesota taxpayers that qualify for the federal R&D credit, but do not qualify for the Minnesota credit. They use the federal credit to employ engineers and researchers or purchase new and innovative equipment. I work with other small businesses that use the federal credit to directly fund future R&D projects. Without the federal credit, they likely would not invest as much in innovation nor develop new products as often. For example, because of funding from the federal credit, one of the taxpayers I work with can bring new medical device products to market four times faster than they could without the federal credit. The ASC method allows many taxpayers to claim an R&D credit where such a benefit would be impossible using the regular research credit method. Adopting an alternative simplified credit method is needed for Minnesota to modernize our credit framework, make the credit more accessible to businesses across the state, and truly carry out the intent of an incentive as valuable as the R&D credit. Thank you again for the opportunity to appear today and voice our support for this important piece of legislation.
Thank you, Ms. Altman. I would like to note for the record that Representative Yu Akeem has joined the hearing and that our Chair Marquardt has returned, so I will hand the gavel back to Chair Marquardt.
Well, thank you, Representative Leslie Garden, and I heard this was the last testifier, so I missed the testifiers, which I apologize for. So members, questions for Representative Robbins or any of the testifiers? Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. I have a question for probably the author. Does the tax credit apply in the same way to small business owners as it does to larger corporations?
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it does, Representative Sandell.
Representative Sandell.
Chair. Representative Robbins, my dad was a 3M'er for a long while, and he was enthusiastic about the R&D that was done at 3M. And I want to support the bill and believe in it generating jobs and an industry here. I just want to make sure that my suggestion would be, I guess, that small business owners might have be treated a little bit more generously with the credit, but I'll leave that up to you and hope that might be the case.
Members, any other questions? So, Representative Robbins, did anyone mention what the revenue estimate was? You know, that's my job, is to mention what the revenue estimate was if no one has done that. So has anyone done that yet? Oh, you're muted, Representative Robbins.
So sorry, Mr. Chair. Yes, I did mention that it had just been posted, and if members haven't had time to see it, I can share it with the members just by reading it.
Go ahead. You go ahead. Either you can or I can. So go ahead.
Certainly. So in fiscal year 23, it would be $24.1 million. Fiscal 24, $21.2 million. And fiscal 25, $23.1 million.
Very good. Thank you so much. And one other question before I go to Representative Gomez, and I was just wondering, to any of the testifiers or Representative Robbins, what are other states doing with this? What's the breakdown of using the method Minnesota currently does, using the method that Representative Robbins' proposal would do? What's the breakdown? And if it's already been said, you don't have to say it again. So,
Mr. Chair, I know other states have simplified dramatically, but I'll let Ms. Altman talk to the specifics. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Robbins. Yeah, there's about 35 to 40 states that currently have an R&D tax credit. About a third use the antiquated method that Minnesota uses. The other two thirds have a method very similar to the one being proposed today or something along that line, similar, just with some small slight differences. So about two thirds use the alternative method. To kind of answer, if you don't mind me just going back really quickly to the previous question too, there is small businesses actually get 10% of the first $2 million of qualifying spend, Anything above that is reduced down to 4%. So it really does actually benefit small and mid-sized businesses more than it does the large business. So there is some parameters in there to kind of give them an extra boost compared to the larger ones. Thank you. I apologize.
No, thank you. Very good. Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Robbins. We heard a version. I don't think it wasn't exactly this bill, but we heard a version of, I think, an alternative calculation for the R&D credit in committee last year, as I recall, or some modification to it at least. And so, you know, I'm not going to belabor all of the points that I made last year, but just when we discuss this credit, I feel like I need to bring up the Office of the Legislative Auditor's report from 2017. They identify a number of issues with this credit. The intent of it is very ill-defined. We don't know if this is supposed to create jobs. Is it supposed to, support companies during like the early kind of phase of the development of their company when they're spending a lot of money on R&D relative to their revenue, or if it's just like a giveaway to big tech? Because there's this one point. I mean, and everybody should go really read this this report from the Office of the Legislative Auditor. They really ask us, you know, if we're going to modify this to clarify the intent and to come up with some kind of metrics so that we can measure its success. But there's just this one point in 2014, there was $50 million of research tax credits. C Corps claimed 67% of the total, and the largest 20% of C Corps received 2/3 of the tax credit, right? This is a tax credit that disproportionately goes to the largest and most profitable corporations in our country, many of whom are paying no tax, many of whom get a tax refund and have no tax liability whatsoever. I think that the other piece about the legislative auditor is that once we establish the intent of this credit, that we need to analyze whether this is actually the best way to achieve that intent. I personally am not going to support anything if the intent is to give 2/3 of it to the biggest corporations in the world, where their shareholders have done very, very well. Their corporate officers have done very, very well, especially during the pandemic when so many in our communities are suffering. If that was the intent, then it's fulfilling its intent perfectly, and I don't support it. If that's not the intent, then we need to modify the way that we're going about it so that we actually like fulfill our goals. And, you know, I want to say that I support Representative Sandel asked the question about whether this supports smaller firms. And we know that they're eligible, right? But that again, this money is disproportionately going to those big players. And so I really just believe that, you know, if we want to support small businesses, if we want to encourage jobs in tech, that there's a better way for us to spend, you know, $25 million more dollars on top of the 50 or whatever it is that we're already spending. So thanks for that. I appreciate the chance to bring that up.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Gomez. I really do appreciate your comments. And, you know, I would be happy to look at adding a metric in there with the intent of what we expect out of this. I support that for lots of different tax expenditures. So I would be fine with that. And also to your point, I think the reason that this has been helpful more to large businesses in the past is because it's just too doggone complicated right now for small businesses to take advantage of it. And that is why this simplification is necessary. And I think that if we do make this change, we will see a dramatic uptick in small business participation, which is what we really want. And just to hit a couple more points, this is not refundable. So if people don't have a tax liability, they do not get this credit. And also, it is for primarily wages and supplies tied to research. So this is not funding equipment. This is about job creation for high, highly educated, well-paid people to come to our state and do research, and the spin-off effects of that are tremendous for our entire economy. So I take your points with great respect, but I really do think that the solve for getting more small businesses to participate is to make it simpler.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and thank you, Representative Robbins, for bringing this bill forward. As a person who worked in the private sector for 15 years, I understand the challenges when you're developing technology, and so I think that there is work that we can do around this. But I guess I just had a really quick question. So we've been talking about small businesses, and I agree with Representative Gomez's point, because I actually was going to mention the same thing about who this is benefiting. Can you just help me understand when we talk about small businesses, I guess, how are we defining small business? Like, you know, is it size of the organization or is it number of employees? I just want to make sure I understand.
Representative Robbins.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I was looking for where my button was. Representative Herr, I appreciate the question, but really, there is no distinction in the law or in this bill between small and large businesses. It applies to the first 2 million, you get the 10% rate. So that will hit most of the small businesses. And then above 2 million, you get 4%. But in the law currently, both federal and state, and in the bill proposed, there is no distinction between small and large business. It's about how much they're spending. So the small businesses usually are under that first 2 million threshold.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and thank you, Representative Robbins, for that response. I'm not quite sure. Maybe you and I can talk offline this, because I know that the state defines small businesses different than the federal government, which is different than each state. I know that St. Paul defined it differently than the state defined it when they were looking at $15 minimum wage. But I think that this goes to my concern, which is Representative Gomez's concern, too, that who is benefiting from this. And if we're not even defining who is small business, how can we keep talking about how they're gonna benefit from this too? I mean, I come from a family of small business and entrepreneurs, and even what we would consider small business family, you know, their business is making over $1 million in gross revenues. They are considered small businesses, and they would never be able to put amount of money into R&D and the way this bill is talking about to ever qualify, you know, for the types of credits that we're looking to give to large corporations. And I think that I just want to be really cautious about us talking about who would benefit. I would just like to get an understanding, though, that, you know, based on your information, what is the percentage of large businesses versus small businesses that would benefit from this type of, you know, from this bill?
Thank you. Representative Herr.
Oh, can I respond?
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Robbins. Yes.
Sorry. Thank you.
I was going to do it for her.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Herr. So again, there is no distinction in law currently or in the proposed bill to distinguish between small business and large. It's hit by the thresholds that they put into R&D. But I would be happy to work with you on ensuring it. The fiscal note does not break down who they anticipate will take advantage of it based on the simplification of the credit. But my expectation, and as we have seen in other states, is that when it's simpler than the current Minnesota calculation, which is kind of crazy, more small businesses take advantage of it. And that is why we say it will benefit small businesses, because those who've been sitting on the sidelines and just haven't had the resources to even put this together will now be able to access this credit when it's more simple to calculate. So that is the expectation of the outcome of this.
Representative Herr. Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and thank you, Representative Robbins. And I appreciate you reiterating that point. And I just want to make a quick comment in that I think that we can point to saying that the complexity of it is what is preventing smaller businesses from participating. But the truth is that small businesses never invest this kind of almost never. I don't want to say never. Almost never have that kind of ability to actually. Put into this type of to benefit from this type of credit, and that we do know that based on the data is that large corporations who have been more profitable in these last few years than they have almost have ever been, that they're going to be the ones that profit from that, who are going to benefit from this. And I don't want for us to ever lose sight of understanding that when we do some of this work, who benefits and who doesn't. And so I just You know, we may disagree on like who we think is going to benefit and the threshold, but you know, I'm just going to leave my comment there, Chair Marquardt. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Robbins.
Thank you. Just one final comment on that. We're not changing the existing threshold, so nothing will change for the big corporations that spend a lot on R&D. The only benefit of changing the calculation will be that more small businesses can take advantage of it. So the 10% on the first 2 million and the 4% on the anything above 2 million is current law. So I didn't mess with that this time as I did in a previous iteration of this bill. So the impact on large businesses, I think, will be negligible.
Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Robbins, for bringing this forward. And I appreciate hearing the comments from members on the other side of the aisle with regard to their concerns. But I think too often whenever we're talking about trying to help business, we sometimes think that business ends at the Minnesota border. We need to be competitive with the other states because we hope to take businesses in Minnesota and keep them here. We want to incent them to stay here. And most importantly, we want small businesses to become big businesses that employ more Minnesotans and create opportunities here at home. So these are all positive steps in the future. And as was pointed out, in the summary, you know, the intent here is to broaden the base where more small businesses will be able to earn that tax credit. And that's what's critically important here is we're trying to help businesses on the eve on the post of the pandemic and try to stay alive and recover. And all of these things are tools to help them get back on their feet and grow. And creating, you know, new markets, new products, the research and development, does just that. And eventually, you know, when businesses prosper, oftentimes there's spinoffs and there's subsidiaries and there's other types of activities that, again, grow the business and make that infant business into a large business. We know that Bill Gates started in the garage. And that's the type of entrepreneurialism that we want to promote in Minnesota. So those are my comments. I really didn't have a question for the author, but thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hertaus. Good discussion by all. Representative Robbins, I presume you put on the A1 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Very good. So if you would have your closing comments on House File 3316 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I do appreciate the robust discussion, and I hope that you will support inclusion of this bill. It really is a matter of our ability to compete, as Representative Hertaus noted, and really invite our smaller businesses into more innovation and participation by the R&D tax credit being more user-friendly for them. So thank you all, and thank you to the testifiers.
Thank you very much, Representative Robbins. Representative Robbins renews her motion to lay over House File 3316 as amended for possible inclusion into the House on this tax bill. Thank you, members. That concludes our work for today. Tomorrow and the next day, tomorrow we're going to hear the governor's tax bill. And there are seven articles to the bill. The plan is to, as they go through each article, after each article, open it up for questions. So tomorrow will be presentation of the governor's tax bill, and that was introduced yesterday, so the language is out there if you want to take a look. I think it's House File 3669, I think is what it is. And then on Thursday, we're going to have testimony on Governor Wallace's tax bill. So folks, if you want to sign up for that, you can do that. Members, thank you for your work today. And with that, we are adjourned.